John 1:1-4. We're going to expose on that. We're going to talk about it. And as we talk about it, we're going to look back at Genesis 1:1-3. And then we're going to look at Isaiah 45:18. Then we're going to look at Isaiah 14:12-15. Because all this is interwoven. In the beginning was the Word. The Word's capitalized with a big W because it refers to the Logos. The spoken Word of God in God, who was Jesus. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And everything that Jesus said in a body of sinless flesh was God speaking directly to the people of that day and to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus did not think it robbery to be equal with God, because he was God. As I've said many times, water can be found in three forms: solid, frozen, liquid to drink, or vapor, which is a gas. But it's all H2O. I'm a father, I'm a son, and I'm a husband, but I'm only one man. God chose to fulfill his desire and his purpose and his plan in three persons: as the Father, as the Son, and as the Holy Spirit. The Son was there in the beginning, the Father was there in the beginning, the Holy Spirit was there in the beginning. And Paul said of Jesus, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4. This is a very short verse, but it's one of the most important in the whole discourse. In him was life, in Jesus Christ, the Logos, the living Word of God, God manifested as a man among us. In him was life. Well, he was among us, and we all had physical life, but he had eternal life and the ability to transmit it to us. The first Adam was made a living soul, but the last Adam was made a quickening spirit with the ability to transmit his life to us. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This life that I received from Christ 59 years ago changed my soul and my internal spiritual makeup into a place of light rather than a place of darkness. We are born in darkness. We are born spiritually separated from God in a darkness that we inherited at the fall of our forefather Adam. You may say, well, if I had been there, I wouldn't have sinned. Yes, you would have. We were all in Adam, and we all sinned in Adam, and God immediately provided the answer to it. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now we take a look at Genesis 1:1-3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. When God first created the earth, it was perfect. It was a planet which he actually made to be inhabited. It wasn't a great burning ball of fire. It wasn't something that cooled and turned into what we see today. It was an original perfect creation by God. Sin always has a tremendous effect on God's plan and purpose. And the first sin that was ever committed, disobedience toward God, was by Lucifer, the perfect angel that he had created. Lucifer was the most beautiful of all the angels. He was created perfect by God. But like all the angels, he was given a choice to either be obedient to God or disobedient to God. When Lucifer made his choice and disobeyed God, many of the angels made their choice and chose to follow Lucifer. But many of them stayed with God. And the ones who stayed with God were sealed in that choice forever. The ones who chose to follow Satan, sealed in that choice forever. The ones who chose to follow God, sealed in that choice forever. When you come to Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior, you receive the light of the world, and he comes to live in you, and you are sealed in that choice forever. Once you make it, you're sealed in it forever, and I thank God for that, because it's a sealing promise of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He did not create them a ball of tohu and chaotic mass. And the earth was. The God-breathed word for was is Hayitha, and it can be translated as either was or became. You'll find that many times the same identical God-breathed inspired word in the book of Genesis is transmitted and translate it as became. God did not create the earth, tohu. And the earth was, it became without form. The God-breathed word for without form is tohu. And tohu, the inspired God-breathed word, means a chaotic, devastated, horrible, unbelievable mass of chaos. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But he didn't create it, tohu. It became that way. It became that way when Lucifer sinned, and the creation began to break up. And there was one huge landmass called Pangaea that God made. And on it, there were life forms that God put there. And God put Satan to actually be over all the life forms, only he was known as Lucifer there. Lucifer tried to take those life forms and create life himself. He wanted to be like God. He said, I will be like the Most High. I will ascend above the stars of heaven, the other angels in heaven. God told him he would be cast down to the side of the pit because of it. And because he sinned, creation fell. And the earth that God had created was transformed, and it's been transformed over a long period of time. The great landmass Pangaea began to break up. And when it broke up into many different pieces and turned into a chaotic mass of confusion, and tremendous volcanic eruptions began to pour up out of all the cracks that were opened in Pangaea. And they spread apart to form the nations today that we know as North American, South America. There's a North American tectonic plate, a South American tectonic plate, an African tectonic plate, a Pacific tectonic plate. You have altogether about 27 different tectonic plates, some small, some large. And that was the breakup when Lucifer sinned. The earth spread apart and is still spreading apart every day at the rate of a few centimeters every 100 years. Without form and void. He used another word here that's very interesting. It means the same thing as tohu, basically. It means a chaotic, undescribable mass of pure, absolute confusion and chaos. The earth became that way. It wasn't created that way. When God made the earth, there was light. It was God's creation. And there was water around Pangaea. And the face of the deep had light on it. But for the first time, darkness came upon the face of the deep. The light was shut off as the huge volcanic eruptions created a mass of clouds in the upper stratosphere to which the sun could not pass. And God created the heaven and the earth, and darkness was over the entire earth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God recreated, restored, replenished, rebuilt, remade the earth that Satan had destroyed. How long did all this take? I have no idea. Some people say 5 billion years. You put any time you want on it. It lasted for a very long time. God is eternal. Time means nothing to God. For a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day. And for a very long time, God allowed Satan to do what he had originally sinned and tried to do, create human life. When I came to this church 29 years ago, if you'll recall, I told you that one of the final things that would happen in this age would be the actual creation of a human being itself and by cloning. And already when I came here, they had already cloned a frog. It didn't make worldwide attention because a frog is a very simple basic animal that's used in all labs because of its simplicity, and you can almost make one. But then they cloned a sheep. When they did that, I knew it was time. Satan's plan was to create life. What made Satan different? How could he be God? What made God different? There is one thing about God, there are many things that are unique, but there is one thing that stands out that cannot be denied. God is the creator of life. Satan can imitate it, he can counterfeit it, but Satan could never create life. He could never create Zoe, life. He wanted to be like God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There were life forms here. They were small, microscopic life forms that God put here. Satan took those life forms and began to try to manipulate them into something that could rule over this earth for him and walk on it, where he would have his own creature here, and what God had placed him over would become his, and he would be a creator of life himself. That was his sin. And a very long period of time passed, and the angels that chose to follow Satan were on this planet, and the angels of God were with God, and God allowed Satan to have all this time, maybe 5 billion years, who knows? But in that period of time, Satan was never able to duplicate what God had made. Through distortion, through different types of seed mutation, through different types of horrifying, unbelievable types of manipulation of various types of DNA and chromosomal structures, Satan took the original life forms that God had made, and he began to manipulate them, and he finally came up with a creature that could walk erect on two legs, had enough sense to be able to bury its dead outside a cave so they wouldn't stink, could actually draw pictures on a wall. He came up with that kind of a creature, but the problem was it had no soul. When God made Adam, he breathed into the Adamos' nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that's what happened. Satan could never do that. He could merely take the life forms that God, the Creator, had made and manipulate them. He tried desperately. Finally, at the end of that time, God said, "Stand back. You've had all this time. All the angels of Satan that followed him had seen it, had watched it. God's angel had watched it. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. In seven literal days, seven literal 24-hour days, God refurbished, recreated, remade, reconstructed, rebuilt an earth that Satan had been responsible for the destruction of it. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And the clouds broke. The volcanic activity ceased. The clouds moved away. And in seven literal days, God recreated, restructured, remade an earth that he had originally created that had been marred and destroyed by Satan. And God let light shine down upon this earth, and in 7 days he created it. On the seventh day he rested. On the sixth day he breathed into the nostrils of the Adamos, which he had made out of the earth, out of the clay, out of the dust, and Adam became a living soul. Now let's take a look at Isaiah 45:18. How do I know that everything I told you is true? Is it just the fact that I'm a scientist and I have scientific knowledge and I'm trying to work science in the Bible? It has absolutely nothing to do with that whatsoever. I believed this long before I was a scientist. I believed it because Dr. Thomas Chalmers, who had a doctor's degree in Bible languages from Oxford University, which is almost impossible to get. Dr. Thomas Chalmers, who was the pastor of the Free Wee Church in Edinburgh, Scotland, in 1830, came up with this, and it makes it very clear, and it's based on the Word of God. If this word right here is was, and the earth was without form, tohu, if God created it, and it was created that way, a chaotic, unbelievable mass of confusion, unbelievable devastation, if God created it that way, then there is a contradiction in the Word of God, and I have never found a contradiction in the Word of God, and this is not a contradiction. Isaiah 45:18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. The subject is definitely the creation of the heavens. God himself that formed the earth and made it. How can I tell you that this word hayitha has to be became? How can I do it with absolute certainty? Because it's the word of God. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not. He created it not in vain. And the God-breathed word translated in vain is tohu. Isaiah says he didn't create it that way. Therefore, I know he didn't create it that way. Well, if he didn't create it that way, this word has to be became, and it can be, because the inspired word hayitha can be was or became. It's a state of being verb. He formed it to be inhabited. God had a plan. Did God know what Satan would do? Yeah. You say, well, this doesn't make sense. If God knew all this, why didn't he do this, do that? Because he didn't want a bunch of robots. He didn't want a bunch of angels following him unless it was by their own choice. And the reason God gave you a choice, he knew Adam would fall. But God didn't want a bunch of robots running around that he absolutely controlled and had no choice whatsoever. God himself, who is love, wanted us to return love to him willingly and with purpose and forethought. And without a choice, that can never happen. The angels made their choice. Those that loved him stayed with God. Those that loved Satan went with him. Pretty much the same in the world today. Light is coming to the world. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now, when did all this happen? When did Lucifer, the perfect angel, fall from heaven? When did he become Satan? Well, he became Satan when he disobeyed God. Notice what he says. How art thou fallen from heaven? Isaiah 14:12-15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? Thou didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, the stars of the angels. And the Bible indicates that a third of the angelic host, the stars, fell with him to heaven at this time. I will also set upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That was what Satan did. How could he be like the Most High? What made God absolutely unique and still makes him unique? He is the Creator. He is not created. Satan was created. Everything that Satan has done in this ability to try and reproduce life has not been by creating it, but by manipulating what God has already made. Satan wanted to create life himself, and he tried, and he failed. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, and he will be. But the subject here is light. In him was life, and life was the light of men. Because Adam and Eve sinned, you and I were born in a world of darkness, with a spirit and a soul and a flesh that was darkened, and we were what are known as totally depraved, separated spiritually from God. Genesis 3, 4, and 8. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. In verse 8, you know what Adam did. You know what Eve did. Adam ate of the fruit of the tree after Eve had eaten, and they became darkened. They became people that belonged in obedience to the devil. They became children of darkness, and their whole countenance changed, and their spiritual union with God was broken, and they were spiritually destitute. And they heard the voice of the God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, verse 8, and Adam and his wives hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. That's exactly what happened. The reason they hid is because they wouldn't come out into the light. They didn't like the light anymore. They had become children of darkness, and the darkness hates the light. And we are born into this world in darkness ourselves, and were it not for the light of God, we would never be saved. Immediately, God began his plan of redemption. In Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee, the devil, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And truly he did. And her seed came between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. And truly Christ came, stepped on the serpent's head, Satan, forever broke his power and hold over men. We no longer have to be children of darkness. We no longer have to remain children of darkness. But in so doing this, Jesus Christ, God incarnate in human flesh, the living Word, the Son of God, paid a terrible price. And thou shalt bruise his heel. He was beaten for our iniquity. He was wounded for our transgressions. And by his stripes we are healed. And God made sure that he put a picture of what Jesus would do, even in the Old Testament. Verse 21, Genesis 3:21. And Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin, and those were innocent animals. They hadn't sinned, but they were a picture of an innocent man who would one day come, and he would not sin either. And their blood did not take away sin, the animal blood, but it pictured the blood that would one day come and take away the sin of all who had believed he would one day come and put their faith in him. They made coats of skin and clothed them. They were the covering, what the Bible calls the kafar, the atonement. That's my covering. I trust in his blood as the total redemption price for my sins. I trust in his taking my sins in his own body on the tree as making me available to stand before God and to be justified by God by the works of this man, by the blood of this man, by the life of this man, by the death of this man, and by the resurrection of this man. He is my total salvation. I have faith in nothing else except him. John 1, 4 through 9. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now take a look at verse 5. John 1, 4 through 9. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The world was in darkness. Satan had sinned. And suddenly God returned and said, let there be light. And there was light. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The world doesn't understand Jesus. The world rejects Jesus. Yet the world was made by him. Jesus was that light. He's the light of my life. I'm not a child of darkness anymore. I don't belong to the devil anymore. I'm not going to be with him and his angels. I'm going to be with the Lord and his angels. I've made my choice. I have chosen to believe in the light who is Jesus Christ. And the light shineth in darkness, the darkness of this world. And the darkness comprehended it not. People that don't believe, that have never trusted in the light, they don't know what you're talking about. They don't understand it. They don't comprehend it. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Light is capitalized because it's referring to Jesus Christ as the light of the world. That all men through him might believe. The light of God by his Holy Spirit shines in a lost person's heart in darkness. And when the light comes into that dark place of a man's heart where the soul of man abides, the spirit of man abides, the inner man, that soul has an opportunity to say yes or to say no to accepting Christ as its Savior. And God allows that, and man is allowed to make the choice. And that soul either chooses to believe the light, to come to the light, receive the light, and is saved, or he rejects the light. He was not that light, John was not, but was sent to bear witness of the light of Jesus Christ. That was the true light, Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There is no man who has ever passed the age of accountability, no woman, that God's Holy Spirit, in the person of the Spirit of Christ, has not shined into their heart and given them an opportunity to believe and to receive the truth and the light. He has shined into many hearts many times. And if that light keeps shining into your heart and you keep rejecting it, the light grows dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. You don't get forever to receive Jesus. It's in this life or never. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now take a look at John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Kenneth tickles me because he's always talking about the kingdom city and the kingdom of God and how great it's going to be in the millennium, how great it's going to be in the heaven age. And he loves to talk about that all the time. The only reason Kenneth can do that, the only reason I can do it, is because 59 years ago, I repented of my sins and trusted in Jesus Christ, and I was born from above. That's what the word again means, from above. And I can see the kingdom of God. I can understand the principles of it. I can comprehend it. I can see it. I can understand it. People that aren't born again, you say, I don't understand why they can't see this, why they can't understand it. There's a very good reason. They're still in darkness. And they will be in darkness until they trust in Jesus and he becomes the light of their life and comes inside and changes the darkness that is in them to light. He's the only one that can do it. In John 3:36, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Hath is a present indicative active. It means once you receive it, it lasts forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. A lot of people say, I can't see that. Why can't they see it? They've never received it. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. You'll never comprehend it. That's what the word see means here. Different words are used for see. This means to comprehend, to understand. A person that can't understand that, a person that won't accept it, a person that rejects it, doesn't accept it, won't, it isn't true. They are children of darkness and don't realize it. But the wrath of God abideth on him. He's still in darkness. Until you, when you are set free in Jesus Christ, you can be taught secure to the believer. If you cannot receive secure to the believer, and you will not accept it, and you will not believe it, you don't any more know Jesus than Moody's goose. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Many people choose to find their own way to heaven, work their own way to heaven. They come up with a multiplicity of plans, and there are plenty of preachers out there that tell them how to do it, but it won't work. Jesus came a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on him should not continue in darkness. But when they say peace and safety, this is coming soon, Israel, this refers to Israel. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Wham! As travail upon a woman with child, that's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, and they shall not escape. Now, I can't tell you the day, the week, the month, or the year that Jesus is coming, but I know this. But ye, Himaeus, plural, brethren, members of the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 5, 3 through 6 and 9. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that they should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We can know when it's coming, when it's approaching. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Asleep. Not paying any attention to what God saved us to do, staying out of church, not trying to follow the word, not trying to follow the teachings of Christ. You're asleep. You're not paying any attention. As do others that are lost, and we're not lost. Let us watch and be sober, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. I'm not going through the seven vials of God's wrath. Why? But God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. This thing about light and darkness is a very interesting thing. John 12:46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. We talked about the Sunday school lesson. Now let's take a look at John 12:46-47. I just read verse 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. If you reject this light, if you won't let Christ shine in your heart, if you won't believe the testimony that he came as that light to live in you and be the light of your life and the savior of your soul, then you don't have to worry about him judging you. He won't. You won't ever come before the judgment seat of Christ, because you're lost. And you face a far worse prospect. Those people who appear before the judgment seat of Christ are going to heaven. They're not going to hell. But the people that appear before the great white throne of judgment, which follows 1,000 years later, are going to hell. Verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the Father at the great white throne. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. What you just see right here, the rejection of the light. And that's what you're going to be judged by, whether you receive the light, whether you believe the light, whether the light was in you, whether you were passed from death into life. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Everything that Jesus said is 100% accurate. He is the greatest prophet who ever lived. He was sent as a perfect prophet, and everything he spoke was precise and correct and completely dependable. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. God gave him a commandment to tell people, I am everlasting life. Come to me. I am everlasting life. I give everlasting life. There is no everlasting life except in me. That was his commandment. This was his commandment. Life everlasting. Look at John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. How do I know I have everlasting life? I heard his word. I hear his word. I believe that God the Father sent him. I believe that the commandment he gave to speak of everlasting life in himself is true. Hath everlasting life. That's a present indicative active. I received it 59 years ago. It was a present indicative active then. It's a present indicative active now. And I don't have partial life. I have everlasting spiritual life in Christ Jesus. And shall not come into condemnation. I'm not going to abide in darkness. I've been passed from under the condemnation of God. I've been set free in Christ. But it's passed from death, spiritual darkness, into life everlasting. Now, we're all born with physical life, but we're born in darkness. Once we pass the age of accountability, what do we need? Spiritual life. Where do we get it? From Jesus. How long does it last? This was spoken directly by Jesus in John 5:40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I came to Christ 59 years ago. I've been passed from spiritual death and darkness into eternal light. Into eternal life. I'm not under the condemnation of God anymore. There's no sin I can commit that will send me to hell. You say, I can't believe that. That's because you don't understand grace. That's because you won't accept grace. That's because you won't believe grace. That's because you will not believe that Jesus paid the full price for your sins on the cross. He told Nicodemus in John 3:7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. When Jesus came into the world, he came into the world as a light, that men might look upon him and receive him as the light of their life and the savior of their soul eternally. Take a look at Matthew 4:16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. If there is one thing that really breaks my born-again heart, if there is one thing that really tears me apart internally, and which I feel great remorse and sadness and empathy and sympathy, it's for someone who believes they have the light and they do not. Take a look at Luke 11:35. Take heed that the light which is in thee see not darkness. Those scribes and Pharisees that asked Jesus the question, he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that you might have life." They were the religious leaders of that day. They went to synagogue constantly. They offered the sacrifices. They were immaculate in everything they did. They believed there was a God. They believed one day God would send a Messiah. They just didn't believe it was Jesus. They were looking for a conqueror. And they refused to put their faith in this man whom God had sent. And if you had asked them what they were, they called themselves the children of light. They believed they had the light of God living in them. Why not? They believed in God. They believed he would send a Messiah. They were trying to keep the law. And they looked down their nose at everybody else and said, "Oh, they're headed straight for hell because they're not keeping the law like we are." They were children of darkness and thought they were children of light. This morning, across this country, the majority of people sitting in buildings like this and coming to worship God are sitting there in darkness, believing that their works, their efforts, their baptism is going to get them to heaven. They add it to Christ. They make it a part of their salvation. And the great sadness in my heart is that many of them are headed straight for hell. Some are saved, but after they're saved, they're taught false doctrine. Some come believing that their baptism will save them, or believing their church membership or works will save them. If they come to God with that, they're not saved. Many of them get convicted of sin. The light shines into their heart. They see themselves as sinners. They trust in Christ, ask him to save them, and are saved. And then in these churches, they're taught false doctrine that you can lose your salvation. That you can lose your salvation is heresy. It's not true. It's a shame and a blasphemy toward God. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If you can understand what I'm saying here this morning, you can accept it and believe it. You don't have any problem because you know Christ and you know what I'm saying is true. If you have great difficulty with this, maybe the light that you think you have in you is darkness. Matthew 6:23. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. You've got to have Christ in you. The eyes are the windows to the soul. And if inside you there is the light of Christ, the light of Christ comes out of you. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. No matter what you say, if you don't manifest the truth of God and the truth of God in Christ, you're full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. For if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? It's the greatest darkness there is. Those people who are lost, that are not religious at all, who are headed straight for hell, they're in darkness, and they have darkness living inside them. But the people who are the most offensive to God are those who are claiming to be the light of God, the children of God, and they're full of darkness. How great a darkness that is to believe you have light and to be full of darkness. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The children of life are going to be in the book of life. All those, whether they thought they were light or not, that had darkness, are going to be cast into a lake of fire. And what a tragedy it's going to be for all eternity for those who died still in darkness, never having put their complete faith in Jesus Christ to save them, to realize that here they are in a lake of fire forever. And the only reason they're there is because they would not put their faith in the only man who could give them eternal life. And you will not come to me that you might have life. When you come to him, he gives the life. You don't earn it, and you don't keep it by working. He gives it to you. And here it is. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is Jesus Christ. When you're willing to acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you can't save yourself, and that without Christ there is no light, there is no joy, and you have no salvation, when you're willing to put your faith in Him and Him alone, then God saves you. Heavenly Father, in this silent moment of prayer that we're about to have, I pray, Heavenly Father, if there's someone here this morning, or if there are people here this morning who never really have put their faith in Jesus Christ and have trusted in Him and something else, that this morning they'll take their faith out of everything except Jesus and come to Him and ask Him to save them from eternal darkness. I pray, Heavenly Father, each one of us in this silent moment will come to You through Your Son.